It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, September 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Several highways across the western slope will be closing down in the next few days. State Highway 141 will be closed tonight at 6 until tomorrow morning while crews work on a rail line near Whitewater. CDOT crews will also be working with Union Pacific Railroad to repair rails that run on Highway 50 in the city of Delta. The closure will last from this Friday until next Tuesday. Detours will be available. The new dispatch center on the Western Slope now has its first agency signed up. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
After the schism that led to the city of Montrose breaking off and starting a new dispatch center, the first agency has signed on. The Montrose Fire Protection District entered into an agreement with the city, meaning the city's police and fire department will use this new 911 call center. This is the Fire Protection District's Fire Chief, Tad Rowan.
It's not so much that we were looking to change service providers, it's that we were just looking to go into a dispatch center that has a model that is ran by an autonomous board of directors.
The big split between Montrose the city and Montrose County happened over fees. The fees were going up, and the city says that organizations that use the call center, like police departments and rescue teams, didn't have any say in what was going on, so the city decided to start their own. Rowan says that the fire department felt the same way.
This is an opportunity for us to participate in a dispatch center that has a model that gives us a voice and some input into the budgetary decisions of the center, to give us an opportunity to control or at least have a say in what our user fees will be moving forward, and give us an opportunity to have input and a vote and a voice on operating procedures and policies of the center.
He says they're not even expecting to save money by switching to this new service. For Rowan, it's about having a say in what's going on. The city said that there are several other agencies interested in switching over to this new model. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Today, the state of Colorado is having a pot holiday, sort of. It's lifting the 10% sales tax people pay on recreational marijuana and the 15% excise tax paid by the industry. This is a result of the voter-approved Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, also known as TABOR for short. To help explain how this law works and is applied, KVNF's Laura Pomasano spoke to Richard Collins, a law professor at the University of Colorado, Boulder.
Richard, please give me the brief history on how TABOR got here and how it actually works.
It was an initiated amendment to the Colorado Constitution adopted in 1992 in that election, and it's been part of the Constitution since that time. It has three main functions. The one that most people know about is that any tax increase requires a popular vote of approval before it can be effective. Another rule is that any debt increase by a government requires a popular vote. But the third requirement, the one that we're talking about today, is a requirement that limits the amount of revenue that the government can collect unless there's a popular vote to allow a collection of more. And if excess revenue is collected, then there has to be a refund or a tax holiday or some other method of giving the money back.
So how exactly is a sales tax holiday for recreational marijuana triggered by TABOR?
During the Great Recession since 2008, we have not had excess revenues, but now we've recovered enough to the point where we have enough revenue to exceed the limit that TABOR imposes. And so the government has to either have a vote to keep it or has to give it back. Now, in November, we are in fact going to have a vote that will allow the government to keep marijuana tax revenues without, you know, regardless of the TABOR limit. In the meantime, the government has already exceeded the TABOR limit, so it has to give some back right now. Now, when the state government exceeds the limit, it can give the money back in any possible way. But some branch of the government with authority to do this chose as the method of complying with TABOR to have a tax holiday for marijuana sales taxes. And apparently that will reduce revenues enough to comply with the TABOR revenue cap.
Another thing that I've heard state officials talking a lot about recently is a hospital provider fee and trying to change how this provider fee is classified, kind of removing it from under Tabor's thumb and calling it an enterprise. Are there other things that they could maybe be looking at to reclassify to get out from under Tabor?
The real problem is the revenue cap in Tabor forces government to actually shrink. This is something that I don't think the press has adequately recognized, but it's definitely the case. The reason is that the economy grows faster than the Tabor formula. The Tabor formula, at first glance, looks like a steady state formula, but it's not. If the economy is growing, the Tabor formula is slower than the economy, and therefore it causes government to shrink, which was, I'm sure, the idea of. I mean, the proponents of Tabor wanted government to shrink, so that's why they did that. So because of that, the projections are that Colorado's government is going to be in difficulty soon unless some adjustment is made. Now, one very small adjustment is the one you mentioned of that hospital fee, and another small adjustment, or not quite so small, is the vote we're going to have about the revenue from marijuana sales tax. But those will not really fix the problem. Mr. Vincent Carroll, who's the editorial page editor of the Denver Post, he had a column outlining the problem very nicely, that the government just cannot continue to do what it does and comply with Tabor. So either there has to be an adjustment to change the formula, or the government's just going to have to shrink.
That was University of Colorado law professor Richard Collins speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. Colorado's ban on collecting rainwater is likely to be debated at the State House next year. Benta Berklin has more.
Colorado is one of the only states in the country where it's illegal to collect the rain that falls on your roof. Earlier this year, a bipartisan measure to allow rain barrels failed on the last day of the legislative session. Republican Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Sterling opposed the bill, but now he's proposing a new measure to allow rain barrels if water providers make up for the water that would have gone into rivers and streams.
My argument actually is there is an impact. We have to recognize there is an impact. We have a prior appropriation system.
But water experts from Colorado State University testified that the impact is minimal because the water collected in rain barrels would otherwise be absorbed in the grass and gardens and wouldn't flow into streams. I'm Benta Berklin at the State Capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.